Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
If all had gone according to John Allen Chow's plan, we would never have known his name. He intended to remain invisible to the world, whether he lived or died, caring only to be seen by the one who told his followers to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. But instead, in November 2018, news outlets around the world were running the story of a 26-year-old American man who had been killed trying to make contact with a remote tribe on North Sentinel Island, a tiny speck in the Bay of Bengal, between India and Southeast Asia. Many news reports and opinion pieces implied that John had been foolish to contact a people group known to be violent toward outsiders. But they didn't know that John had prepared for years to reach Sentinelese with the good news of Jesus Christ. John had spent almost a decade preparing to take the gospel to Sentinelese, one of the last uncontacted people groups. His journey began in 2008, the year he turned 17. When he became what he described as an apprentice to Jesus. After taking his first mission trip the following year, he began to pray about spending his life serving as a missionary. "I know that God used that time to mark my life," he later said. In his prayers, John asked God where he wanted him to go, echoing Isaiah's affirmation, "Here I am, send me." Soon after making that prayer for commitment, John found information online about the Sentinelese people, who live on an isolated island, have never heard the gospel. He sensed that God was calling him to go to North Sentinel Island to share God's love with them. "Once I said yes to Jesus," he said in a video for a church that supported his work, "I was committed. I was all in." Every decision John made for the next 9 years was in preparation for going to North Sentinel Island. Living among the Sentinelese and sharing the gospel with them, he had conditioned his body, his mind, his spirit, said a former representative from the Student Missions Office at Oral Roberts University, the school John attended in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was one of the most prepared men I've ever met. Knowing he would not have hot water on the island, John took cold showers to help his body adapt. And since little was known about the Sentinelese language, he took a linguistics course through a branch of Wycliffe Bible translators, hoping it would help him communicate with the islanders. In addition, he undertook medical training and became certified as a wilderness EMT so he could provide the Sentinelese with basic health care. He was vaccinated against all manner of diseases, knowing their immune systems would be vulnerable to imported Western viruses, and he underwent laser eye surgery so he wouldn't have to worry about keeping his contact lenses clean. John was so focused on preparing to serve on the island, an aerial view of North Sentinel hung on his dorm room wall, that he needed a reminder to keep serving in the here and now. An outreach leader at ORU challenged John not to wait, but to start immediately serving and teaching, serving and reaching out in the name of Jesus. And John took the challenge to heart. Because of his love for soccer, John became involved with a ministry that ran a soccer program for immigrants from Myanmar. He was not the most high-profile leader standing in the spotlight or preaching a sermon, but his love for people and his bedrock faith began to shine through. John arrived early and stayed late. He set up for practice, made sure things ran smoothly, and then packed up the gear at the end of practice. He planned devotionals and filled in when the ministry leader was gone. And he got shoes, uniforms, and other equipment for players who could not afford them, often using his own money. Coach Chow became a friend, mentor, and coach, taking every opportunity to point young men to Christ. Sometimes the leader of the soccer ministry would discuss the possibility of involving more immigrants from other nations and having them work with him to grow the ministry, but John's commitment to North Sentinel never wavered. "I hope that happens with whoever God brings to help you," John said to the leader, "but I'll be on the island, Lord willing." In 2015, John took the first of four scouting trips to the Andaman Islands, a union territory of India located so far east of the Bay of Bengal that it's much closer to Bangkok than Bangalore. He was seeking a better understanding of the territory as well as confirmation that North Sentinel Island was God calling for him. Whenever he met local Christians in the region, he would ask if anyone was going to the Sentinelese. John had told Christian friends that he was willing to serve in a support role if a missionary effort was already underway. For John, the important thing was not the messenger, but the message. But the answer was always the same. No one was trying to reach the Sentinelese with the gospel. As he flew out of Port Blair, capital of Antamin in the Nicobar Islands, John gazed out the window at the blue ocean below and saw an island come into view that he recognized immediately. It was the same island he'd stared at on his dorm wall all through college. "A sense of clarity and peace came upon me," John said later, "a sense of knowing that I'm going to be going there one day. I took that as confirmation. I've only had that sense of clarity and deep sense of knowing a few other times in my life, and each time I can say it was definitely God that was speaking to me." The confirmation of John's call intensified his preparations. Through all nations, he received training on church planting in different cultural settings, and he took more trips to the Andamans, where he connected with local Christians willing to help him and fishermen who would transport him to the island. But he still remained open to news of anyone else trying to reach the Sentinelese with the gospel. On November 16, 2018, John went ashore on North Sentinel Island for the last time. When the fishermen returned the next day, according to the police reports, they saw a dead person being buried at the shore, which from the silhouette of the body, clothing, and circumstances appeared to be the body of John Allen Chow. Nothing is known about what happened between John's arrival on the beach and his death. The young man, who would later be ridiculed as a colonizer, had approached the Sentinelese without a weapon, even after being shot at. Clearly willing to give up his own life, John's body was never recovered. He had requested that if he was killed, his body be left on the island. Following his death, a storm of vitriol were unleashed on John, his family, all nations, and at times anyone who would dare to think of sharing the gospel with another human being. The fishermen who took John to the island were arrested, as were other Christians who had spoken with John in the Andaman Islands. Their trial began in November 2021. The story of John, the adventurer, bro, quickly turned to John, the misguided missionary, the colonizer, the thoughtless disease spreader. The mocking memes on social media and criticism in a variety of media came in waves. Some comedians even used the story of John's murder in their acts. More concerning was the criticism from Christians who attacked John's perceived lack of preparation and insensitivity to the culture. Some even questioned whether the Great Commission might be outdated in 2018. Perhaps, they posed, it doesn't apply to tribes that have no contact with the outside world. I would say, for one, the only ongoing pain that I have about John's mission and death is actually how Christians as a whole treated John so poorly after he was so willing to give his life for Jesus, said Pam Arland of All Nations. He was willing to give his life for a people group that he never actually got a chance to meet. I wish that, I will call it Christendom, would have been kinder to him. Now, on with the program. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Just what does that mean in today's world? Are those words still relevant? We know Stephen was the first Christian martyr. His death is recorded in the book of Acts. According to Christian tradition, June 29th marks the martyrdom of the Apostle Paul. That day is set aside each year to honor the faithful witness of not only Paul, but others who have sacrificed their lives for the gospel. My guest today is Todd Nettleton. He's the Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration for the Voice of the Martyrs USA and host of the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. He also serves as a voice for persecuted Christians, inspiring Christians with the faithfulness of Christ followers in 70-plus nations where they face persecution for wearing his name. So many Christians in the U.S. know the name of Nate Saint, one of the five men who lost their lives in 1956 while making first contact with an unreached tribe in the Ecuadorian jungle. Are there still unreached people groups in the world? I don't think we realize that.
You know, it's something that we don't think about a lot. You know, we think of the world as being sort of completely discovered, completely interconnected. But as the story of John Chow shows us, there are still people who are cut off from the rest of the world, isolated from the rest of the world, and still people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, could you give a short synopsis of who John Chow was and what happened?
Well, John Chow was a young man that God had called to go to North Sentinel Island, and he answered that call, and in 2018 was killed going to arriving on the island. He made a first contact. The next day he went back to the island, and subsequently the people who had taken him, the fishermen who had delivered him to the island, saw the islanders burying his body on the beach there. And so it was a martyrdom for the sake of Christ. But it was interesting because at the time, a lot of the story about John was he was sort of an adventure junkie. An adrenaline junkie who just sort of woke up one morning and decided to go to North Sentinel Island. The reality is John had prepared for 9 years to go to North Sentinel Island. Every decision he had made from the time he was a teenager was with an eye towards landing on that beach, being able to serve the people, being accepted by the people of the island, and ultimately being able to share the gospel with them. And so for us this year on Day of the Christian Martyr, we were kind of able to fill in some of the gaps that weren't told in 2018 when John was killed.
I found it interesting because personally, when I read that story, I guess it came out last year. I'm not sure the time frame, but it was recently, the way I'm recalling, the story of John came out in the general media and the attacks that took place and such as that. And until I got your all's magazine about his story, I did not know all those details. And I wondered, you know, why did he go, and et cetera, et cetera. And this article you guys had in your magazine filled in all the blanks. And I really appreciate that. But, you know, the world, like you said, the world was lambasting him. And how did the Christian church as how did many Christians view his martyrdom? The same as the world or differently?
You know, sadly, at the time in 2018, there were many that viewed it the same as the world. You know, those people want to be left alone. We should leave them alone, which really sort of discounts Christ's call to go into all the world and make disciples. So that was really one of the things that concerned us here at Voice of the Martyrs. It concerned the folks who helped send John to the island. Is that criticism within the church? What was he doing? What was he thinking? Well, he was doing what God had called him to do. He was thinking that Jesus' words that were supposed to go into all the world are true and are still true today. And that's why he was willing to risk his life. That's why he was willing to go. And, you know, some of the misinformation was intentional. John had sort of planted seeds along the way. If you look at his social media feed, yes, he was an adventurer. Yes. He didn't want people to be able to easily tell exactly what he was doing. And it wasn't so much about him. He was concerned about whoever would go after him because he knew it was dangerous. He knew there was a possibility he would be killed. He didn't want to set up any barriers in his own death for whoever would go after him. And so there was a conscious effort on his part to sort of paint a picture on social media of an adventurer. But the reality was much, much different.
Absolutely. Your article, the article in Voice of the Martyrs magazine, went into details how he prepared. And it was amazing how he prepared for the task God had laid upon his heart. And it was a real eye-opener to me. And do we here in the United States still understand the Great Commission?
Some of us do. Okay. I don't know that all of us do, I think there needs to be an understanding. And one of the things that we have to understand is that fulfilling the Great Commission is going to cost people. Okay. It's going to cost more John Chows who are willing to lay down their lives. And we sort of think of that as this unique and amazing thing, but that's always been true. When a new field is open for the gospel, it has always involved those who were willing to die. And so you think about Robert Thomas in 1866 landing in North Korea and being killed on the beach. That you mentioned Jim Elliot willing to lay down his life on a river beach in Ecuador to reach a tribe that hadn't been reached. That's always been what it is like, going back even to the original 12 apostles, 11 of whom were killed for their witness for Christ.
Right.
So it's easy to sit in our comfortable houses in our comfortable pews and think, wow, yeah, the Great Commission is really important. We really need to get on that. But we have to understand some of us are going to set aside our comfort and even set aside our lives in order to see Jesus' name preached to every tribe and tongue and nation.
In fact, one of John Chow's remarks or one of the statements that he left, I pray you will never love anything in the world more than you love Christ. And we in America, we need to take that to heart for sure. Is the story up online? The story of
John? The story is online on our story site at persecution.com. So we do have the story. And like you say, that quote from John, as I was working on the story, hugely convicting to me. I hope you never love anything in this world more than you love Jesus Christ. Yeah. And what a great question for us as American Christians to ask ourselves, hey, is there something right now that I'm loving more than I'm loving Jesus? That was a convicting question for me as I worked on this article.
And as it should be for every Christian, not only in America, but around the world. But American Christians seem to be becoming complacent when it comes to evangelizing and getting out the word. Can folks also contact Voice of the Martyrs through persecution.com?
Absolutely, persecution.com. You can sign up to receive our magazine every month for free. You can connect with us, send us a note. You can also access the story about John Chow, all of that at our main website, persecution.com.
Okay. Thanks so much, Todd, for being with us and clarifying some of what happened with John and his zeal for Christ, but his well-laid-out plan as how he was going to do it. I really appreciate that. You take care.
You are very welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.